All right, you ready for preaching this morning? If you have your Bibles today, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Matthew. We want to look in chapter number 2 of the book of Matthew today. Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. I'll ask you to stand to your feet as we look at verse number 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. That's the reading of the book of Matthew, chapter number 2, verses 1 through 11, or verses 1 through 12, if correctly read. God's laid on our heart a series of messages we want to try to preach this month entitled Unwrapping Christmas. Unwrapping Christmas. And the first thought today will be a wise Christmas. When we unwrap Christmas, we need wisdom. Who is a wise man among you that is endued with knowledge? We need wisdom today. A wise Christmas. Father, thank you for allowing us to meet together in your house. Thank you for the good songs of Zion, for the business that's been done this morning, transactions that have been done between earth and heaven by many today. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your divine appointments. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your leadership. God, now would you fill us with power? Would you help us to preach, Lord, to your people this morning, that we might receive instruction and guidance, and that we may make wise choices and wise decisions in our lives. Lord, we need you. We desire you. God, would you move amongst us today? God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated today. There was a woman. She had taken her little boy shopping, and she became very anxious when she noticed that her son had wandered away. And she began desperately to try to find him. And soon she found him with his nose pressed up against the store window. And he was looking at the nativity scene. The boy said, "Mama, look, the baby Jesus." And his mother hastily grabbed him by the arm, drew him away and said, "Let's go. We don't have time for that mess." That's exactly where our world stands today, that they don't have time or space for Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, many of us get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of Christmas, and we lose the reason for the season and the joy of the season. In verse 3, Herod the king, he was troubled. He is threatened by this newborn king, and he's filled with anxiety. In fact, the Bible says in verse number 3, all of Jerusalem was filled with trouble. They all had anxiousness in their lives. the chief priests, when they were asked where the Christ would be born, they said it's going to be in Bethlehem of Judea. They're a group that are trifling. They are filled with indifference. They are apathetic. They have they don't care. They just don't care whether he's born or not. But then we come to verse 10 and 11, and we meet the wise men. They are thrilled. They are filled with adoration. They are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, four times in the Bible, this group of men, this delegation of men, are called wise men. Why do you think God, the Holy Spirit, called these men wise men? Is it because of their occupation? I think not. Is it because God's impressed with who they are? I think not. Is it because they're counselors, they're advisors, they're scholars, they're experts? Is it their wealth? Is it their education? Is it their intelligence? Is it their passing the IQ test? I think not. There are reasons that these men are called wise men, and I would ask you a question. Are you a wise man? Are you a wise woman when it comes to the Christmas season and Jesus Christ? I believe God called them, number one, I believe he called them wise men because of their recognition. Their recognition. The Bible says, verse 1, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. They were saying, where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. Now, a lot of things we don't know about these wise men. I don't know how many there were. I believe there were more than three, because all of Jerusalem is troubled. All of Jerusalem is anxious. I don't know if just three men showing up is going to trouble the whole city, but I believe there's a big group of people that came that day. I don't know how many there were. I don't know all the different areas and the regions that they were from, but one thing I do know, they were following a supernatural star, and they've come to worship the Lord Jesus. May I say it like this? They recognized the light. Have you ever looked up at night and seen the stars in the sky and thought about what was it about that star that the wise men saw? The Shekinah glory of God. I mean, those stars are billions of light years away, and yet we see them in the night sky. Just a little speck of light, just a spectacle up in the sky. And you know what got them going? Wise men, look up. Many of us look around. Some of us are looking down. But wise men look up. And when they looked up, they saw his star. When they looked up, they saw his glory. When they looked up, they saw the light. Nowadays, people are filled with a foul spirit, bad attitudes, overwhelmed, confusion, discouragement, despondency. People are downtrodden. You see, they're interested in the things of the world, and it's killing them. But if we'd get interested in the light, if we'd get interested in the things of God, things would turn around. The wise men were not interested in the things of the world. They were interested in the things of God. If men would truly seek the light rather than darkness, God will cause the light to shine even brighter than it shines now. You can see him in the canon of Scripture. You can see him in all of creation. You can see him in your conversion. Amen. I get to thinking real quickly about his creation. Light and God's creation. I've asked the guys if they would put something up on the screen for you to see about creation. If someone would hit the lights for me here real quick, that'd be a blessing. First of all, this is a shot of the earth that you and I live upon. Do you feel small now? Look at that. How beautiful the earth is from outer space. I have another shot that I want you to see. This is our God. Here is the earth, the moon, Mercury, Mars, Venus, Look at the size of the earth compared to those other planets and the moon. Those are basically in size with each other, okay? Look with me again at the next picture. Our God created all these. Here are more planets, Jupiter and Saturn. Look at how the planets, all of them together, are so much bigger than the little earth that you and I live on. Let's look at another picture. Here's the sunshine. Amen. All these things that shouldn't be in outer space are in the galaxy called the Milky Way because God said, let there be light, and bling, the lights came on. Look how beautiful that sunshine is. Look at the next picture. Here's the brightest star in the Milky Way, the galaxy we live in. It's called Sirius. Look how much bigger Sirius is than the sunshine. Look at the next picture. Here is a picture of the star Pollux. It's bigger than Sirius. Look, now we're comparing sizes. Look how small the earth is now. Do you see it? Barely. Just one little pixel. Let's go to another picture. We have the star Arcturus. Arcturus is in the book of Job, chapter 9. It's in the book of Job, chapter 38. Arcturus is one of the biggest stars in the Milky Way. Look how much bigger it is than Pollux or Sirius or even our sunshine. Do you feel small now? Look at the next picture. Here's a picture of Rigel and of Aldebaran. Look at them in size relationship to these other stars in our galaxy. Look at the next picture. It is Betelgeuse and it is Nebula. Look at the size now of little old Earth. Look at the size of the sun that you and I think is so big that dominates our noonday. Look at the next picture. This is the star VY Canis Majoris. Look how much bigger it is than our sunshine. It is 1,400 times bigger, and it is in our Milky Way. It is in our galaxy. Look at the next picture that we have. We have the Hubble telescope that's in outer space, and it's going to give us a picture of something. Let's look at the next picture. We've asked the Hubble telescope to take a picture of that little squared space that you and I see to the naked eye, which is complete darkness. We don't see a thing. Look at the next picture. This is what is seen through that little naked space. Look at all of those stars. In fact, that's not stars. Those are galaxies. Just like the Milky Way is one galaxy with the Mars and Venus and Earth and so on, and the sunshine and Sirius and Pollux and Nebula and all those, that's one galaxy. These are 10,000 galaxies at least, each one with their own stars. There are trillions and trillions and trillions of stars that are out there. Our God put every single, is there another picture? Put every single, look at them. Look at them. Our God, how mighty, how magnificent, how marvelous is our God. He has fearfully and marvelously made us individually. And look how big he is. And you think he can't help you? You think your problems overwhelm him? Honey, you have no idea how big our God is. And this is just galaxy after galaxy in what you and I know as the second heaven. What must the third heaven be like? Hey, one night the wise men saw a light, the Shekinah glory of God, the star, and they began to follow. Hey, if you want light, look up. Look at the heavens declare the handiwork of our God. Is there more pictures? I've just lost track. Look, look, look. You see, that's all taken in that little square that you thought was a nothing. Hallelujah to God. All right, fellas, if we have any more, is that it? All right, that is their recognition. Now get to thinking about the Bible. Here's what Mary said. He that is mighty, you can cut the lights back on. He that is mighty hath done to me great things. Honey, he that is mighty hath done to all of us great things. Amen. What was it that got it in these men's hearts to start seeking that star? I believe it was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I believe that they began to be drawn. Preacher, I don't see in the text anything about the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we're come to worship Him. My Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It was the Holy Spirit that was drawing them to worship Him. In fact, I dare say, it was the Holy Spirit that drew me and drew you to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and to praise Him today. Wise men still worship Jesus in the handiwork of His beauty. Amen. Listen, they were speaking the light despite the barrier of distance. Some of them were 900 miles away. Some of them were maybe 2,000 miles away. It took them 2 years to travel following that star, but distance did not stop them. You may say, Preacher Darren, it's a long way to Bethel. It's a long way to drive to Bethel. Honey, I'm telling you, wise men will do what it takes to worship Jesus. They sought the light despite the barrier of discomfort. They had to cross the desert. They had to cross the wilderness. They had to cross the mountains, but that did not stop them. Hey, wise men seek the light in spite of the barrier of danger. Here they're following the Shekinah glory of God. Danger, Pastor Darren? Danger. When they get to Jerusalem, the star disappears. They go into Jerusalem. The whole city's on red alert. They get Herod up out of the bed and they say, where is he that's born king of the Jews? Do you know who Herod is? He's a wicked man. He has murdered 5 other princes on his way to power. He put one of his wives to death and killed his and her 2 children. He's troubled. He's disturbed. He's alarmed. He's agitated, as the whole city of Jerusalem is. He's concerned. Is there a rival king? Is there competition? Where is he at? I'm going to kill him. I'm going to destroy him. These wise men are in imminent danger, yet they come to worship no matter what. Church, I'm telling you, the day is coming when coming to a worship service is no longer popular. We have experienced it ourselves in the last 2 years. You better worship Him in spite of distance, in spite of danger, and in spite of difficulty and discomfort. Hey, I think about the miracle of this star. The Bible says 1,400 years before Christ was born, there shall come a star, capital S, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. That star is a personality. Daniel, that young man that was so wise, he was taken off into captivity. He taught the Babylonians. They saw him as 10 times wiser than every other wise man they had. He was then the Persians took over. He taught the Medes and the Persians and the Babylonians. Do you know what he taught them? The Word of God. And when the star appeared, they came seeking and searching at one wise man by the name of Daniel, who preached and proclaimed that the Word of God is true. My Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. You need to study the Word of God. They followed the star. The star disappeared. They communicated to Herod. Herod told them one thing, Bethlehem. The message of the scripture, Bethlehem, the house of bread. They left out of there. And when they did, the star reappeared. And they began to follow that star again till they came to the house where the Christ child was. Number two. I spent too much time on number one. Number two, I think about rejoicing.
Number two, rejoicing. Now, they started following the star again. It's reappeared, verse 9. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know what wise men do? Wise men rejoice. These are men of wealth and power and prominence. And you know what they're doing? Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. We've been looking for him 2 years, and hallelujah, we're going to follow him. There's his star. Some of us sit around, well, I got to be quiet. But Lord God, listen, if your football team had won yesterday, first down Alabama, woo, had it been a lot of people excited. Go Mountaineers, some people would cheer. Go Cougars, some people would cheer. But get in church. Let's get your youngins on a video game. Get them playing. Ha! I got you. I got you. Over here, over here, over here. Hey, I got you. I got you. I got you. But you get in church. Let's get you on that hunting video. Watching that hunting video. Getting that deer. You know, even that video, you was trying to make that, you was trying to get that shot of that deer coming by. You've been sitting there 2 days. And finally, there he comes. Ooh, boy. You're trying to contain it. Oh, you want to shout. There he is. Oh, I got to be still. I got to get that good shot on him. I got to get, oh, yeah. But listen, what about that? Them hunting videos. It's all you can do to contain yourself. But you come to church and talk about Jesus. It's amazing what you'll get excited about. Did you hear? They had a sale down there on dresses. They had a sale on new suits. Did you hear? If pots and pans was for sale. Did you hear? My favorite perfume is on sale. It's 15% off. What is it you get excited about? You get excited about presents and hunting and shopping and sports and video games. But when we get to talk about Jesus, we need to get excited. He is mighty. He is marvelous. He is magnificent. I'm excited about you. Wise men drop their prominence, drop their power, and get a case of I can't help it. I'm just going to praise him. I want to call time out. Just shout a while. Amen. I thought about this star. Think with me for a second. They were following it. It supernaturally appeared. Then all of a sudden, when they got to Jerusalem, it disappeared. When they asked where the Christ would be born, when they came out of Jerusalem, boom, there it is again. It reappeared. I thought about that star being a picture of Christ. He was supernaturally conceived in a virgin's womb. And when he was born, they laid him in a manger. The star appeared. He lived a sinless life. He gave his life on the cross. They buried him. The star disappeared. But on the first day of the week, he got up, and the star has reappeared. And wise men praise him because the star has reappeared. May I just take time out and say, one glorious daybreak, he's coming back again. The star is going to reappear. What a day that's going to be. Wise men, still look for the star. Hallelujah to God. I say, bless your holy name, Lord. Have your way. Wise men are looking for Jesus this morning. Rejoice with me, church. Rejoice with me. Shout, shout, shout. Hey, don't sit here because your shouter's broke. It ain't broke, amen. He saved you from the devil's hell. I say hallelujah to God. Wise men still rejoice. When I look at the text today, the Bible says, in thy presence there is fullness of joy. I can't but help get excited when I get around him, amen. I ought to be more excited about Jesus than anything else, amen. Hallelujah to God. Look at verse 11. When they got to the house, They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down. And the Bible says they worshiped him, not her, him. You know what wise men do, number three? They reverence the Lord Jesus Christ. Wise men still bow. Wise men still adore him. Wise men still worship. Hey, you may be here today and say, oh, Preacher Darren, I'm saved. I'm going to tell you what, if you're a wise man, you'll worship him today. We're in an atmosphere of worship. We're in an atmosphere where the name of Jesus is being high and lifted up, and we can worship him. We can fall down and humble ourselves and worship him. Now think with me. The word worship is the word proskuneo, and it means to kiss with love. I'll give you an example. It's a bore example. Any of y'all got a dog that lives in the house? I don't have a dog that lives in the house. I have a husky. That's a dog. No, she ain't. She's a dog that thinks she's a person. And as soon as I open the door and come in my house, that little old dog that's driven me crazy, that little old tail will start wagging just like this, and she'll start licking my hands, sniffing my legs, say, "Master, where you been? Where you been? Did you bring me any food?" Well, it don't even matter. Just welcome home. This is what she'll start doing. You know what she's doing? She's kissing me. She worships the master. When he gets around, we ought to get down and kiss his feet. We ought to kiss him on them hands that was nail scarred. The Bible said, kiss the Son. We ought to be proskuneo, kissing him, worshiping him, reverencing him. Where is he that's born King of the Jews? He's not even their king. He's the King of the Jews. They're Gentiles. They've come from afar, but they made somebody else's king their king. Somebody better help me preach. On July 13, 1978, he was made my king. And he received me there that day. Woo, hallelujah. The preacher was over. He was in one of them Middle Eastern nations, maybe Jordan, and he was eating. And it was announced the king was passing through. And that restaurant emptied out, and everybody ran out to the street, and they were bowing down, and they were shouting praises and adorations, and the preacher was still sitting in the restaurant. Nobody left around except the server. And he said, "Where did everybody go?" He said, "The king's coming through." And he looked around out there and seen all them people. He said, "I didn't feel a thing. The king was coming by, and I didn't get the least bit excited." He said, "And that's when it come to me. That ain't my king." But when my king come passing by, I aim to kiss him and to worship him and to adore him, and I aim to praise him, and I bless his holy name. Amen. Wise men still reverence him. Fourthly, look at verse 12. When, after they worshiped, when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Number four, their resources. These wise men opened their treasures. Listen, he's just a child. He couldn't open himself. They opened their treasures, and they presented to Jesus their prized possessions. They gave out of their abundance. Some of us, we give out of our pockets. If I have a dime, I'll throw it in the church budget. I'll throw it in that bucket. If I have $20, I'm going to put it in there. I'm going to do that. That's my tithe. You know, I don't know whether I should be more impressed with the fact that you're living on $200 a week, or the fact that you work so cheap. Maybe I should hire you to come help here if you work for 200 bucks a week. You know, a $20 tithe says I make $200 a week. But a wise man, he gives of his resources. He didn't just give out of his pockets. He gave out of his abundance. He opened his, listen, he didn't just open up his wallet. He opened up his treasures. He gave, and he gave deeply. Who's he giving to? Listen, God won't be outgiven. The Bible says, prove me. That means test me. Prove me now. If I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you may have room to, and you won't have room to receive it. You really think your little $20, well, listen, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Listen, it's not about your $20. God don't need, did you see the pictures I just showed y'all? God doesn't need your $20. But it's about obedience. And if you'll put him first, he will not be outgiven. Do you see what he has to give? Look at all that. My soul, what power, what glory, what abundance, what provision, what supply. He can take care of your every need. Why would I ever worry? That's my God I just showed you. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. Oh, preacher, I don't have anything. You know what you ought to do? You ought to give to him first. Give to him. If he give you anything, give to him first. Watch what we'll do with it. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9. He will, listen, he'll fill your barns up. He'll fill your storehouses up. You honor him, he'll honor you. Let me just point this out. Romans 12, 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what he really wants? He really wants you. He wants you. When the God of all glory that has all that, you know what he wants? He wants you. How, glory to God. How, look at that, look at those pictures. How small I must be. And yet he gave his life to die for a speck of dust that I might be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. I got one more, verse 12. Look at their response. Now the Bible says, after they've worshiped, presented unto him their gifts, the Bible says, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. What's their response? Number 5, what's their response? You know what they did after they worshiped Jesus? God spoke to them and warned them, said, depart another way. After they met Jesus, they went a different direction. After I met Jesus, wise men, when you meet Jesus, you'll go another way. Will you listen to me, church? Listen to me right now. Listen to me. This is important. It's very important. I'm talking to a wise man or a wise woman right now. Some of us, the Lord's warning us, don't do this, don't do that. I want you to go another way in your life. This is the way I want you to go. And right now, it's not popular with your flesh. It's not popular with your friends. It's not popular with this world. But you better do what God says do. You need to turn and do what God says do. That's the way of prosperity. That's the way of blessing. That's the way of favor. Go the way God says. But you may say, well, I'm so smart. I'm so educated. I have the liberty and the freedom and the rights to choose and do as I wish. And I'm a pretty smart boy. And I'm a pretty smart girl. I'm a pretty smart cookie. Yeah, you smart, all right. You so smart. But the God that created all that is trying to tell you, go the way he says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You need to have a change of direction from the way of the world to the way of the cross.
That was their response. James 3:13. Who is a wise man among you and a dude with knowledge among you? Who's a wise man? Wise men, they recognize him. They rejoice. They reverence him. They give of resources and they respond. Little lady, she had her Bible. We picked it up. It was worn and wearied, tear stained, outlined, underlined, writings here, notes there. I saw initials. What's these mean? That's such and such preacher. JHS, J. Harold Smith, PR, Percy Ray. All these preachers, dates even, where the preacher used that scripture, used that text. Ooh, Preacher Darren, I know you've used Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 before. You preached a message along these lines, but not this exact message. I've got it wrote down in my Bible. I know you did. Praise God. Opened that Bible, and I found one that said TP. And over here, another one that said TP. And I thought, as hard as I could, I thought, I don't know. Who's a preacher TP? I don't know who that is. Oh, that ain't a preacher. That means tried and proven. Youngins, have you got some TP in your Bible? Some things that's been tried and proven. Things that the world would have never done. They'd have never went that way. They'd have never made that choice. But you went with God. And what did he do for you? Amen. You see, the God that owns all that and the God that created all that, he can make a way for you. Amen. You see, wise men still seek Jesus. Amen. Even in the year of our Lord in which we live today. Amen. You'll stand to your feet. Seth, would you come? Maybe there's somebody here you need to get on your face and say, God, I want to worship you today. Last Christmas, I wasn't even saved, and now you've saved me. Lord, you've answered prayer requests. You've done miracles in my life. Lord, this has been a hard year. But Lord, it's Christmas. And I want to worship you today. I want to thank you for coming to this earth. You left the splendor of heaven and took up the skin of a man and they crucified you. And I worship you because you rose again. And I have burdens. I'm overwhelmed with circumstances. I have pressures. I have problems. But I'm going to worship by faith this morning. Would you come? If you're watching online and you're not saved, or you're here in the sanctuary and you're not saved, this would be a good day to get saved. Why don't you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. Anybody? I need to be saved. If you're watching at home, it's as simple as bowing your head and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Tell him, I believe you died for me. And I believe you rose again. Forgive me my sins. Would you save my soul? Wash me in your blood. Make me that new creature. Let me go to heaven, Lord. Oh, you'll be a new creature for Christmas. Praise God. Thank you for your salvation, Lord. I love you. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, God, for all that you do and for who that you are. Lord, I pray you'd meet our needs today. God, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you, God, for all that you do for us. And God, not just in what you do, but who you are. You are God, and there is none other. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And I ask, God, you'd help us to recognize you this Christmas. Help us to rejoice and reverence you this Christmas. God, I ask your blessing that we respond in the right way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.